The Tarlehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Well, we're here. We're not celebrating. We've just got some pain to talk about here on the post-game show, and that is why the caption beneath this says playoffs equal pain. If you don't know the result, I'm going to have to bring you bad news. Reading didn't win. We didn't beat Huddersfield. We didn't actually lose. We drew 0-0. But unfortunately, it was culminated and decided on penalties, and it ended 4-3 to the bad guys. Huddersfield won, they got to celebrate, and once again, Reading fans got to trudge home from a major stadium watching another team's fans celebrate, watching fires go off, watching someone else pick up a trophy, and not our year once again. I am Dan Wimbush, joined in the top corner of the screen by Will Jones. Will, hello, how are you? Have you recovered at least a little bit from that?
A little bit. It hasn't really sunk in yet. I mean, it was funny you said Huddersfield were the bad boys. I'm going to sort of jump in straight into the post-match mortem and say that I've almost come to the conclusion that they were actually, they're just too nice. You know, on the tube home, wishing me luck for next season, all very polite. And you just sort of got that. Well, I've got friends up there. I think they're a very similar town and club to us. I'm just thinking sort of in terms of the fans' atmosphere, I almost wonder if it would have been better for Reading if we played a team who, you know, Fulham, Sheffield Wednesday or Leeds, who would have looked down on us. Mm. Because, I mean, you know, well done to Huddersfield. You could just see from their reaction how much it meant to them. This is their first time in the Premier League. In some ways, I felt a bit sorry for our players a little bit in the second half, because you could see that, you know, they wanted as much as the Huddersfield players, but you could look at their, probably looking at the Huddersfield fans going, really supporting them. And the Reading fans, I mean, where I was at the right at the back of the lower tier, so I had a slight overhang.
Yeah.
It never really felt that we got going as a set of supporters.
It was difficult. I was up in 501, so I literally had no Reading fan to my right. I just had Netting and Stewart and then the Huddersfield fans. So I had a really great view of both ends and both sets of fans. And you could tell that this was big, big for Huddersfield. I was asked by Tim Deller this morning on BBC Radio Berkshire that, oh, do you think there's been so much excitement amongst Reading fans? And we've talked about this, I know, Will, that for Reading, there was just that little bit of feeling. Now, whether it was the fact that we've been here before and keep mucking it up, or the fact that we'd done the whole Premier League thing before, but there wasn't. Reading fans didn't really get going, did they? Or at least I didn't think so, anyway.
No, and for me, I don't want to put my own perspective on the whole of Reading fans, but the two games I've got excited about most of the season have been Leeds and then Fulham in the semi-finals, and it was not just because they were big games and a big crowd. A part of it was because just the build-up to it. The Leeds and Fulham fans were looking down at Reading, and it was almost like, all right, you know, we know we're not a big club, but don't look down on us. We are equals. But say, and it almost sort of spurred you on. I think I described it, but when I watched the Huddersfield Sheffield Wednesday semi-final, I said, people asked me what I wanted. I said, well, I'd rather beat Sheffield Wednesday, but I can tolerate losing to Huddersfield.
Yeah, you can't begrudge them their moments. And it didn't even feel like, I remember when we watched Walsall beat us at Cardiff, and they had half the fans we did at the Millennium Stadium. And you just got that feeling of, oh, we'd offer so much more to the division above than your opposition. And on this occasion, it's just, I find it very hard to make any sort of significant. And I know you did a piece in the build-up, that's like you say, looking at the similarities between the clubs. You can't really make that argument of, oh, Reading would have been so much better for the Premier League. Oh, the neutral would have loved it. It was just a toss-up. You know, I spoke to a lot of fans who support Premier League clubs in the build-up to this, and they didn't care. They really didn't care who won. I don't think generally they were looking forward to either team being there. And based on those that watched that 120 minutes, I can't say I blame them. God, being brutally honest.
No, it was, you know, you almost feel, if we're going to lose, could we at least have a bit of entertainment? And it was something very Reading about it, wasn't it? That, you know, the dull game. And even in the penalty shootout, as we have in all our playoff final defeats, we've given ourselves a little bit of hope. You know, oh my God, we're actually winning penalties. We might do this. And that's the thing. They always draw you in, don't they? And
even that false hope, it wouldn't be a playoff final without it, you know. Whether it's being 2-0 up and getting a penalty, or leading twice, or getting it back to 3-2 and then hitting the post. Even in the FA Cup semi-final, you get on level terms, and only to see it slip through Fed's grasp.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought I mentioned lots of people joining us in the thread. Darren Seymour says, also in 501, it was much louder. For the Huddersfield fans, proud of the team for this season, but felt we didn't have enough attacking intent today. Come back stronger next year. You are. Jake Marniel says, there's always next year. Paul Hobbs just says, again. I think that sums up most of us feeling on the day. So keep those coming. I'll try and read out as many as I can while we're trying to also run the show. But Will, was the result, just on the context of the 120 minutes, could you see any fair argument to say that one side should have won?
I think it 0-0 was a fair score. Huddersfield had the better chances. Munizzi Brown's one.
Oh, awful.
It was apparently a bit of a sitter. I only saw it once on the replay. And Naki Wells did have that chance in extra time. And as soon as he missed, I just turned to my dad next to him and said, if that was 90 minutes and he was fit, he would have scored that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think of our best chances.
Grabbing early on, McCleary. It's McCleary's sort of effort from sort of the top of the box in the middle that just dragged wide.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise the Gunter's best chance header at the back post. Yes, I mean, all season and for years of watching Chris Gunter play, I always think, just shoot, man. You know, have some confidence in yourself. And the one time he probably should have headed it back across, he went for goal. But you know. That's the way it.
If there had been a downfall, I mean, we'll go back to the start and try and get it over and done with quickly. But you know, team wise, the big question all week was Jordan Peter going to play? The answer was no. He was named on the bench. That meant an unchanged side from the one that beat Fulham. It meant Joey Vandenberg and Tyler Blackett reuniting on that sort of left hand side. And if there was one area where Reading did look weak, it was down that side. Again, it wouldn't have taken. Someone had watched too many Reading games to figure that out, and sadly they did exploit it. Joey Vandenberg in particular was having an awful day. He looked a red card waiting to happen, picked up that booking. Yeah. You could almost... I bet Stam had several alarms on his phone when 60 minutes was up so he could get him off the pitch. it was good management that he did, because the one thing you didn't want was this game settled by a refereeing decision or a player's own stupidity.
No, and I agree with you, everything you said about Vandenberg. I think if Abita had been fully fit, he would have started. I don't think Blackett and Vandenberg were starting, because they did what they did well in against Fulham, but Abita showed in the first leg what he offers. So it must have been that he wasn't fully fit. So probably he didn't want to bring him on the hour. It was probably earlier than expected, but Vandenberg, as we know, has got that challenge in him.
It would have been very cheery. For his season to end with a red card at Wembley, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so well done to Stam for taking that. I mean, a potential interesting point is whether Jonathan Hogg should have been sent off in extra time.
Yeah, true.
I don't think it would have made any difference, because it was about a few minutes before end of extra time, and he never took a penalty.
Yeah,
so probably not worth too upset.
Yeah, it's true. A few more comments. Jake Marnie asked, was that Williams' last game? Ian Rice said we should have gone for it. And Chris says, bit of a dull affair, wasn't it? Wish it wasn't on pens, but good luck to Huddersfield. Remember what happened when we last lost a playoff final. In fact, the last two times we've lost a playoff final, we've gone and won automatic promotion the following season. So, get those early bets in now. I'm sure with the championship table fully decided, hashtag gamblerware, I'm sure someone will be willing to take your money on that. Dave McCrae loved Swift, but he didn't perform today when he needed to, with Evans and Williams not going to give that creativity. Easy to say, perhaps Kelly should have started. It was nice to see him take his pen so well on to next season. Just before I come on to Swift, because that is one of the key talking points from the game, very quickly talking about the officiating and some of those decisions, what did you make of Neil Swarbrick's game?
No, I mean, apart from maybe that hog incident, no complaints really. I mean, there was one, as there always in any game of football, there was a couple of ones where you thought, you know, could have gone up, referee linesman could have given a throw in, but no. I mean, I only left that stadium felt there was any injustice from what the referee did today.
Yeah, a little bit inconsistent at times, but it was very much within the boundaries of what we see in the Championship. This wasn't at the sort of extreme edge either way of a particularly great or a particularly awful game. I think he wound both sets of fans up a little bit, but again, it's what you get. Referees are only human, so, you know, I don't think too much of it. But John Swift, then. I'm going to be writing my player ratings very shortly to go up on the Tullus, and I've nearly finished the match report before coming on to do this show. But unfortunately, and I don't think it will surprise anyone when I say that, when I give the game away, spoiler alert, that John Swift receives the lowest vote for me and the team. What has gone wrong for him, Will? Because you look at the advanced stats from this game, I don't think Swift officially had a key pass. Therefore, he didn't put a pass together that led to a chance. He didn't manage to make a recovery when he lost the ball. And just, what went wrong? Was it the team around him? Was it Swift himself? Did Huddersfield do a good job getting him out of the game? What went wrong for him?
I mean, I don't think he's really been this. He was much better in the first half of the season. It's not as if it's been a major surprise. I think, you've got to remember, he's actually still very young. Yeah. Is he not the same age as Liam Kelly, I think? And I think there's a sort of, watching, you know, the three cross games of playoffs, sometimes he can be a little guilty, maybe. Well, I think guilty is almost the wrong word. He's too desperate to play well. So maybe starts to get, you know, force the issue, tries a bit hard on the ball, you know, take the man and loses it. Credit to him that he never goes missing, but it just never happened for him in the playoffs. He just sort of seemed to, whenever he picked the option, it always, you know, was always the wrong one.
Yeah, we can all play, what do they call it in America, Monday quarterback, and try and second guess damn selections. But, I mean, was there an argument after seeing how the game unfolded? Do you think that Kelly would have made a substantial difference on the day, or do you think that the way we set up and the way it's been working through the playoffs meant you had to play Swift?
There was an argument, I guess, for Kelly, but I mean, what, he missed the playoff, the first leg through illness, yeah, and then was on the bench for the second leg. The thing is, I think Kelly's a better sub than Swift. He's got a bit more dynamism, so it's always like we all. I think a lot of people already thought the game was going to extra time, so in that sense, Kelly would be better.
Yeah,
and though Swift's been out of form, if you had to say which players like to do the match-winning moments, you'd still maybe go towards Swift.
Yeah, you thought, I mean, with his ability from set pieces, it only needed one of them to come off. I mean, again, unfortunately, they were pretty bad this afternoon, but he does have that moment of magic up his sleeve. And as much as I've liked Kelly, I thought his two sub-appearances, his two cameos we saw in the playoffs, I didn't see so much in either of those in a very, admittedly, a very short period of time to say, yeah, he definitely should have been starting. There was nothing really to say this man would have 100% made the difference. So, yeah, I said Monday quarterbacking or Monday management is very easy to do, but it's just a real shame for John Swift. And I'm sure he seems the type of person. I remember Dave had him on very briefly after the Fulham game. He held his hands up about missing that great chance against Fulham. Hopefully he's the type of player that will go away, learn from this and come back. And, the other topic of conversation from Reading fans on the train on the way back was related to penalties. Who took them? A lot of people pointing, not a lot of people, a few people questioning why wasn't Gareth McCleary taking a penalty? Can we put this one to bed now just by looking at his just awful penalty record from the season? Can I just get that out there? Is that good enough, or am I giving McCleary a bit of a pass?
No, I think you said that. He's not as if he's got a great penalty record. I think credit to all the lads who stepped up. And, you know, if you look at the players who were on the pitch at the end, McCleary was the only other one you might have thought could have taken one. I mean, Evans, Ilori, Gunter, Al-Habsi, you know, the players who stood up, got no problem with that. So I don't think it's worth criticising McCleary for that.
No.
Given his record. I think it's more credit to the lad who did step up. And the odd thing is Moore's penalty would have been a little bit long, a bit lower. We would have been saying, "Wow, what a penalty!" Just like Liam Kelly,
really great hit. Vice.
Yeah, so he was unlucky. I mean, Obita, I just knew when he stepped up, he'd go that side, and you know Ward clearly did. But I'm not going to criticise the players for missing the penalties. I mean, I'm sure we've all done it ourselves and just kick around in the field. I mean, the only thing you might say is maybe they could have gone for it more. We never really created anything. There was not even many sustained pressure. It was sort of a game that went on in the midfield. I imagine if you were neutral, you would not have been impressed.
Size lacks that bit of extra quality. Plenty of heart, absolutely tons of heart on show. And some good organisation from the two managers that knew what they had. But neither side are brilliant at playing that style of football, I don't think. I think they're teams that can get the job done playing it. But I think there's a reason, you know, what did we finish with? Something like +3 goal difference, and Huddersfield are the first team to ever win promotion with a negative goal difference. They scored, what, one goal in the playoffs, and that was an own goal. And they've got through on 2 penalty shootouts. I'm not having a go at Huddersfield. They've done what they needed to do, just like we talked about after the Fulham game. Reading got the job done at Craven Cottage. So there's no sour grapes at all. But being brutally honest, Reading, while they have shown the ability to play this Dutch style of football under Yapstam and to get results with it, it has very rarely been massively entertaining. And they have very rarely played it so well that they have dominated an opposition, other than the real dross of the Championship. Whenever they've taken on the very big boys, they've often had to play second fiddle to what they want to do and then set up accordingly. And that, again, they finished third in the division. They utterly deserved to finish third in the division. But were they the third most entertaining team in the division? No. Did they dominate loads of games this season? No. But will they get better at it? Absolutely, because they've already gotten so much better at it from August to May.
Yeah, and that's got to be the hope for next season. And the wish for every Reading fan is we want Yapstam to stay, but if he does sadly to go, it needs to be done sooner than later, so we've got time to prepare for next season.
And I think we've seen the pain of being in a playoff final is that Reading have already effectively lost 3 weeks. Of planning for next season. You know, they were not sure what type of players they were going for. And so now they'll be back in pre-season in, what, 3-4 weeks' time? And having to deal with that. We'll talk a little bit about Yap again in a minute, but I just want to go back to Danny Williams, because as much as I thought John Swift didn't have a good game, as people are saying in the comments section, that Danny Williams, one of his best games in a Reading shirt, I thought he was magnificent. He's certainly my man of the match. Guy Reed saying, defo Williams' last game for us. We'll miss him. Jake says, best game ever for Williams. I hope he doesn't go. I mean, but what if that is his final moment in a Reading shirt, Will, I think he can go out with his head held high.
Yeah, and this has been his best season by a long way. In his 4 years at the club. A little bit at the beginning, he was maybe slightly overhyped, and then last season he became over-criticised, as you know, football fans are, too much of the other way. But this season, he's got better as the season went on, and he was the best player across the 3 games for Reading. And every single game, he was one, if not the best player. Still had the energy right at the end, still running around, scored his penalty. So I think it's sadly inevitable that he'll move on. But at least he can leave his head high. Will always be welcome back at Reading.
We know he's, we're going into theoreticals here, but we know pretty well that Williams is one of, if not the top earners at the club. He's the last Zingarevich contract on the books, believed to be somewhere in the 30 to 40 grand a week category. Again, can't confirm that without Danny phoning me up and telling me, but I think it's a fairly open secret of that. Is he so important that you make a play for him to stay on those type of wages, or is it just a case of that Reading can't justify that sort of spending anymore? Especially because now, unfortunately, we're £10 million down because that is the end of Reading's parachute payment. So immediately, that is a £10 million hole that needs to be filled.
I think it also depends on the wages of the other players. If he's on, you know, 30, 40k and the next player's on 20k, is he 10k better than the rest of them? Probably not. Though, if you lose him, how are we going to replace him? Well, that's going to cost more million. Well, actually, wouldn't it just be cheaper to offer that to him? But if it upsets the balance of the squad or the wage structure, then no. But I think this is going to be a case where we could, you know, we've had it in a bit in the last few summers where we've had players who we've offered contracts to and they've been very polite and said, you know, thank you for your offer, but I'm moving to the Premier League and you're not going to begrudge a player that. We can match his salary, but if a Premier League club comes in for him, he's going to move to the Premier League.
Is he a Premier League player?
I think he can hack it. I think having watched Reading in the Premier League, I think most players in the Championship individually can do a job in the Premier League. Doesn't mean they'll start every week, but squad player.
I agree.
Danny Williams, squad player for Huddersfield. Sounds a bit too soon to say it, but we'll be perfect.
Yeah, it was like Andre Bique going from Reading to Burnley after they beat us in the playoffs a few years ago. Hugh says, who knows how much money the owners have? We'll find out. Williams may stay. And again, that's a massive X factor as well. We're talking about Stam and Williams. This Chinese ownership that obviously was sort of snuck through quietly during the second leg euphoria after the Fulham game, or midway through the Fulham game even. We don't know, really. We've not heard properly publicly from them. We don't have any real idea what their financial clout is going to be. We've seen Chinese ownership work quite well at other clubs. We've seen it, unfortunately, work terribly with other clubs. So who knows how that's going to be. That's going to be an ongoing off-season discussion point. Go back to the comments. Andrew Vickery, I thought Stam got his tactics wrong. Should have started with Obita. Vandenberg is always a sub waiting to happen. Ben H. Cook, Reading were far from their best today. If they played like they did against Fulham, I think they would have thrashed Huddersfield. And some more from Hugh as well. Positives, though, Allori is a capture and a half. The back six, including the goalkeeper, is sorted. Just that midfield trio or quartet that needs rejigging. And I think it is worth talking about the positives because, look, we're all feeling bad enough as it is. There is a really strong spine in that team. And how I said that Reading had improved from August to May, they will only get better if they stay together and keep working at this system. And you look at players, I mean, Ali Alhabsi, you know, player of the season 2 years running, seems to have cut out most of the errors from his game. No worries there. Gunter and Obita, fine. More, excellent. Thiago Allori's really made a bit of a name for himself in the past few weeks. He looks like a good capture. And you've got good squad utility players in the likes of Blackett and Vandenberg. Your midfield, George Evans has made a good step up. Again, in the last couple of months, he's shown he's a good part of the squad. Williams will need replacing, probably, but Swift and Kelly are both young and promising. Then up front, Jan Kermigan, the evergreen Jan, worked his socks off again today for so little. So he's one option. We'll obviously lose Lewis Grab, and it looks like he'll be heading back. He's Bournemouth. He is at Bournemouth, isn't he? Or is he at Norwich?
Yes. No, it's Bournemouth these days. Again. They'll be looking to get rid of him in the summer, I imagine, Bournemouth.
Yeah, would you pay top dollar to get him back?
No, I mean, football transfers these days are so hard to work out, but I mean, he was didn't get into so much today, but I thought he was pretty good in both games against Fulham. So he got better during his time with us, but no, I wouldn't be rushing to spend too much money on him.
I think it depends what Yap wants to do system-wise if Stam stays, because we saw through most of his early days that Stam doesn't like playing with two strikers. He likes playing with two wide players. And if that's the case, Kermigan's presumably going to lead the line, although it's not a guarantee. Kermigan said he's going to retire at the end of next season, so you know, whether the owners provide investment to replace him. But either way, if it does go back to a system with just one main striker, that's going to put real pressure on Graben. Is Graben good enough to lead that line in that system, say, if he had Behrens and McCleary either side?
I don't think we saw enough from him to suggest you'd play him over Kermigan. He doesn't really fit in the wide system either. So I think going forward, we will, unless Mendes continues his his rise,
go on,
we will see more of him this season. But I mean, the system we played over the playoffs doesn't really fit McClure or Behrens in.
No.
And they've actually started quite a bit. And you saw today when McClure came on, he never really got into the game.
No, unfortunately not. And it'll be fascinating to see what happens, whether they stick with three centre-backs. There's lots and lots of questions for the off-season, and I don't want to get into too much detail now, not least because emotionally, physically, I am beyond tired. But this hurts. It really hurts, but it doesn't hurt as much as some of the other playoffs. In fact, I think if I had to rank this, it's probably at the bottom. I don't think Reading can sit there. I know some people have said in the comments that they didn't do themselves justice, but I don't think they played badly. This isn't like Swansea where you went, oh, if only you had just not been horrific for 45 minutes, you would have been fine. Bolton was heartbreaking on many different levels. Walsall was frustrating, as mentioned. Am I alone in putting this at the bottom of my playoff heartbreak list?
I'd probably join you that, though that might be just because of our age. I'm sure there are younger fans who miss some of the other ones who probably are more heartbroken than we are. The one thing that sort of is that next season will be the first time that will be the fifth season we'll be in the same division for early 90s. Certainly since I started watching Reading, we've never spent more than 4 years in the same division.
Wow. That probably goes back to McGee Porterfield. Sort of era, I'd imagine. I'm sure statisticians out there are rapidly correcting us.
Yes, that would be it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
a few more comments before we start to wrap up. James said, for me, we need creativity. Can't knock any player of the season for their work rate. We really need a few players that can make a difference in the final third. Jake Marnie says, I'd rather Rackles came back into the first team than Behrens. And Hugh says, a very good point of Bolton hurt a lot, and boy, did that hurt. You think going up in a playoff penalty shootout is a tough one to come down from. Try going 2-0 up and missing a penalty. That stuff haunts you, man. Really haunts you. But creativity, I agree. And it goes back to the point I made, and you'll be able to read more of it in the match report when it goes up shortly. As I said, it's a difficult style for a team to master and play really well, especially when you are doing it and implementing it. And this is the first season. And that is the ultimate positive from all of this, is look how far this team has come. For a team that finished in the bottom 10 last season, going nowhere in the league, a team that's finished in the same place the season before that, nobody thought Reading were going to finish. A few wildly optimistic may have thought, but most of us didn't dream that Reading would finish third. Even when we got into the playoffs, I think most people were expecting us to get beat by Fulham. We made it. Didn't even lose the final. We drew it and lost on penalties. We were two penalty kicks away from the Premier League. And that is a fantastic achievement, no matter what happens next. So my optimistic hat's going to be on for the time being, in that I think that with this new ownership, that they can build from this. And the more they play it, if this is the way they want to go, Brian Tevreden stays as well, and they decide that, yeah, we want our teams to play like this, then the only way is up for Reading. But we won't be a surprise package next season. Teams have got a lot more info on us now. And I don't think we're going to ever have a season so lucky, Will, where we score, 9 out of 10 penalty rebounds. So going to need to work on that for next season. Penalties in general might need working on next season.
Yeah, maybe it's maybe inevitable that I was when we given our penalty record. I mean, and I think this season that there's been a lot of really fine individual performances. Individually, I think with some really talented players in this team, you could argue that actually as a team, they're not as good as previous Reading teams, and they are still developing. They've got a lot better next season. Now, if we think that some of our team performances can start to match some of the individual performances, we could be on for a really good season next season. You think of players like Liam Moore, McShane, Ilori, individually look really good. Now, you think if they can do that combined as a three, that is some back three.
Yeah, and you just look at the previous playoff teams and what happened next, that they had to be tweaked. And even a team that just missed out on the playoffs, Steve Coppell's side in 2004-05, they recognised they had that spine, they had a way they wanted to play, and they just needed to make those tweaks to get those extra players in to make it really work.
Yeah.
And they did that, whether it was a Jason Roberts, whether it was people like Leroy Leiter and Kevin Doyle. Reading were able to go out and get those players. Now, the obvious caveat to that is we saw in after the 95 playoff final that squad was broken up. We lost Shaka Hislop, we lost Scott Taylor, we lost Simon Osborne, and the team went backwards. I don't think that's going to happen this time. This is worth bringing up. Do you think there's anybody from that Reading team that Reading should be really worried that a Premier League team is going to poach this summer? Because last time we saw Shane Long go, we saw Matt Mills go. Is there anyone else out there thinking, oh, we're not going to be able to hang on to them?
Well, part of that will depend on the owners and how much money they've got. But in terms of players that Premier League clubs will be looking at, we mentioned Danny Williams as the obvious. Players on the contract, Liam Moore comes straight to mind, so I think plenty of clubs will be looking at. I think Swift's second season form means we'll probably have him next season, which is major plus.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think Thiago Alori, it's too soon, could not see enough of him, but I think I'll probably end up back in the Premier League. But I think Moore's the main one. I mean, there's a lot of players who did well, but from Premier League, I mean, again, Kelly, promising side, but maybe not enough. And then there's always the thing that with the Championship players is, say with Moore, his true value might be, say, $5 million, but a Premier League club might want to pay 3-4 million, we might want 6-7 million. So it's going to depend on the Chinese ownership. We'd have no, the truth is, we don't know anything about them. We don't know how deep their pockets are. We could have the most unreading like summer and spend 20-30 million. We might end up with a fire.
That'd be an exciting. Count me into that one.
My personal thing is, let's think for that next week or so, look back and think, yeah, you know, we've got a bit. This season was a decent season. There were some games. We've got a bit of identity, a bit of excitement getting back. Let's not dwell too much on next season because it will come around quick enough. Let's sort of try and enjoy a break.
Yeah,
certainly forget today.
I very, very much agree. It's been a long season. It's been a topsy turvy season. It's been one where, you know, we've got to go to Wembley. We've been to Old Trafford. We've been to the Emirates. We finished third in the table. We had that brilliant night against Fulham. We've had reasons to, as you wrote in the match report from the Fulham game, it felt like a bit of the spirit was coming back. And hopefully that continues into next season. The club off the field, I'll give them tremendous credit as well, because I think they are getting lots right now off the pitch. There is a lot more positivity and stuff surrounding it, from the social media to work they do in the community and everything. And they've always been pretty good at it, but this year they've really tightened that up. And you're proud to support. I'm very proud to support Reading Football Club. And today just shows that the fans. Well, look, we're never going to be the loudest fans in the country, but we back our team. We go time and time again to Wembley, even though we always lose. And hopefully, you know, we've made a few more fans for the future from today, just from the atmosphere and being there. And if you were sitting on the fence about getting a season ticket for next year, get one. Just give it a go. It's a really affordable season ticket. I'm not being paid by the club to say this, or by Carabao either, I should say. I mean, there are no cans of Carabao here. But we want the Medeski as full as possible because it helps everybody enjoy the game more. And the players have been saying it themselves. They really respond when the crowds are there. So, you know what? Help them get over the line next season. Let's go. We need one place better. So we can do that. I'll leave the final word as well. Unfair not to talk about the victors of the day. Huddersfield, my initial gut reaction, again, no bitterness aside, that team is going to come straight back down unless they do some major, major surgery on it. Is that just me being bitter, or is there a bit of faith in that?
No, I think watching both teams today, you would seriously struggle. Huddersfield have got the same rumours about Wagner that we've got with Stam, that you know you might still leave even though they've gone up. But you know what? Good luck to them.
Yeah.
They'll enjoy it. The difference with us is that if we'd gone up and by end of August, like last time, struggling, we would just be thinking, "Oh, this isn't fun." That unless they get absolutely thumped, they will keep having the atmosphere. They'll keep going it. So you know, so good luck to them. And then let's think about where, because we finished this season last season doing the same thing, Dan. And the fan base was split over McDermott. It felt like the club was going nowhere. You know, a gradual decline. And I think, you know, I put the line, good luck to the manager because he's got one hell of a job on him. And yep, Stam has done that. And we think where we've come in the last year, we can be pretty pleased with ourselves because, you know, the song which we probably will need to put to bed for next season of "We're on our way back." Well, you know, we've got our sort of, you know, the old Reading way back, you know, we're up there challenging for promotion. And yes, you know, we're used to it. 15 years, we don't get as excited as a team like Huddersfield. But, you know, at least we made the playoffs, and teams like Leeds didn't make the playoffs. Aston Villa didn't even finish in the top half.
Yeah, Derby.
Little old Reading, you know, we got in the playoffs again, and it's not even a big deal for us.
Yeah, we've all enjoyed it. I thought the whole thing was great, well managed, just excellent. It's always a great day to go out to Wembley, even though we always go there and lose, still enjoy it for the most part. So yeah, we're going to wrap this up. There is so much more we could talk about. We could go through the entire team and everything like that. And don't you worry, we're going to do that on the tire list end of the summer. We're not taking time off. We're still here. Will doesn't know this yet. I'm springing this on him live on air. So their reaction says it all. But no, we will be back. We'll have a full Tyler's Den podcast up. Probably going to let this settle for a little bit, so maybe a week, maybe two. Then we can talk about the whole season, what's next. We might well have some news on Stam and players and Williams by then as well. So we're just going to let this settle. Hopefully this has helped you get the raw emotion out if you're listening to this or watching this. Thank you to everyone who's joined in the comment section. Great to see it so lively. Apologies if we've not read out your thoughts, but that's what the comment section of the website is for. And on Facebook, keep the debate going. That's exactly what we're here for at the Tarlest End, to give fans that outlet. So thank you to everyone who's watched not just this video, but all season, downloads podcasts, reads the website, follows us on Twitter, follows us on Facebook. The contact details are in the bottom corner. The mailbox is always open. We're always after new writers, new contributors, and obviously the Patreon campaign, the crowdfunding campaign. If you want to see us do bigger and better things, put your hand in the virtual tip jar and give us a couple of quid. patreon.com/TireLessEnd. In the meantime, Will, try and enjoy your evening. I think it's going to be a tough one for Reading fans, but if you're anything like me, at least you're going to sleep well tonight because I am shattered. Absolutely shattered from that.
No, these tense games do take it out of you. I mean, if we felt tired, you know, the players will be knackered. But, you know, let's keep our heads high and next season give them a lot of support, and particularly Moore and Obita. Really hope they aren't harsh on themselves, because Obita was most improved player for me and Moore was one of the best, you know, definitely the top three contenders for player of the season. They've had great season individually.
Yeah.
So they should keep their heads high up, as the whole club should do, and, you know, as we as fans as well, because Reading,
yeah, you know, nobody should turn on them. They're good lads. Anyone can miss a penalty. It just happens and it just hurts, and they'll be hurting more than anybody else. So if any of you out there are giving them stick on social media, lay off it, right? Or we'll send Dave Handbags Harris round, sort you out, and you won't like him when he's angry. Anyway, that does wrap up the show. Please, I'm going to finish my match report. I'm going to get some food because I'm absolutely starving. For some reason, the £6 chicken burger at Wembley has not completely satisfied me. So I'll be going to get some food. The match report and the ratings will be up and we'll have lots more content. Will, have a great night. And to everyone out there, come on, you Ars. We'll go again. We'll come back. It's just a game. Enjoy it. Speak to your friends, speak to your family. better speak to your family, especially after what you've probably put them through today. Have a safe trip home if you're still on the way back, and we'll be back later on. In the meantime, ta-da.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.